Hello, it's Scott Simmons here with 1% Realty for the Radio Real Estate Show on CFSI. And I've got my friend here, Alex Denny, Master Carpenter with Portside Woodworks. Portside Woodworks on Salt Spring Island.
Yeah.
And we're talking about eco homes or things you can do to get your house spruced up to be a bit more environmentally friendly, maybe cut down on your carbon footprint. And the first part of the show, we talked about the crawl space, probably the most overlooked spot in the whole house. And then we were just kind of getting into attics, and Alex wants to go through, we have a list of stuff which we'll go through, but I just wanted to mention the you could upgrade the insulation in your attic too.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and talking about at the beginning of the show, we talked about vermiculite and or older types of insulation. You know, you definitely want to find out if you've got something like that in your attic.
Yep.
And you want to have a professional contracting company.
Well, the vermiculite, if you go up there and you just look in the attic, mm-hmm. and if it's pink and kind of looks like the pink foam or pink, what do you call that?
They have the blown pink insulation, yeah. Right? And then they have cellulose, which is a paper. There's right. Nothing wrong with that.
But if it's a gray
granular, sort of looks like gravel.
Yeah, yeah, kind of fluffy. Yeah. That's a vermiculite. It looks like the stuff that used to be in old barbecues.
Right.
It's the that's what vermiculite is. It's kind of hard to describe, but it's like a gray. It's a gray color, small chunks, kind of lightweight.
Looks like little pebbles sometimes,
yeah,
or little stones.
Yeah. That's the stuff that has asbestos in it. Now, there's nothing wrong with it as long as you don't disturb it. But if you're drilling holes up in your roof or mm-hmm. taking part of your roof down and you're causing dust, you do not want to be breathing that dust for a sustained period of time. I mean, that's
100%, right.
Yeah.
So, attics.
So you want to insulate.
If it's uninsulated, you know, if it's not insulated well and you have old insulation, start from scratch, you know, remove it all. If you know, and then you can really, by removing it, you can determine if you have air leaks. And often you'll see, you know, streaks of dirt running up the side of the chimney or something like that.
Right.
Brown streaky areas in your attic, and what that actually is air escaping from your home
right.
into the attic space and carrying the dirty air with it.
I was reading this one thing about those turbines. You see those whirly bird turbines on top of houses?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Those things should be outlawed. I mean, they people have them up there to vent their attic, but
right.
the problem is they spin so much that they actually just draw all the air out of the house. I mean, they almost overventilate it.
And there's a good point. And so, again, back to vapor barrier. You know, if you can crawl up into your attic and it's all dirty around where your attic hatch is, that's a sign that you're losing air out of your house into your attic space. It's the same as you don't want the home air to mix with the air in the walls. That's why you have your
right,
vapor barrier
right.
there. But your vapor barrier is equally important or more important on your ceilings
right.
and around your attic hatch. You need a, you know, like a weather seal there and
yeah.
a latch of some kind. And especially around in older homes, you know, where you have the drywall where it meets a brick chimney or an older, you know,
yeah.
it's really hard to seal that properly. So that's where things like spray foam come into play. Although I wouldn't say that spray foam is a very eco-friendly product. I would imagine it's loaded with chemicals that just, you know, it's like an off-gassing
right.
type product. I can't guarantee.
But there's different types of spray foam, too. There's the expandable and then there's the non-expandable.
Right. Right.
You got to make sure for the application that you're spraying it in that you get the right kind of spray foam.
Right. And so
you
what
don't
happens
want to take the expandable stuff and put it in a small
a tiny little
yeah, fill it.
Yeah. Now I've seen this before. Whereas let's go around and spray all the perimeter of the windows and doors
right.
with expanding foam. And so you squirt a little bit of foam in. You go on to the next. You know. And about a half an hour later or an hour later, you come back from lunch and like, hey, my front door doesn't close anymore. Well, what happens is the foam expands so much. And it warps the door frames or window frames so the windows don't even close.
It's incredible how much it will expand.
You have to be careful.
If you put it in a tight spot, it'll blow 2x4s off. Like
sure.
It'll move to wall. Oh. I mean, it's just got the power when it expands.
I saw some plumbers on a job. They filled the tub up, and we thought, okay, they're going to set the tub right in the foam
right,
and keep
right.
it insulated. So they squirted a bunch of foam underneath it, and they filled the tub with water, and everybody went home for the weekend.
Lifted it.
Came back Monday morning, and the tub's 4 inches up off the deck, full of water.
See, if they'd use the non-expanding foam.
Lifted by this foam. Yeah.
I mean, I bet you that's the last time they ever used that type of foam.
Probably a half a day just to cut out all the old foam and get that tub back down.
I mean, right on the packaging, it'll say, you know, the amount it'll expand by. And, you know, for different applications, you want the right foam. It's critical.
Right. So point being, though, is you want to prevent the air from inside your home escaping into the attic.
Right.
And so when you have your Whirlybird on your roof, you know, it should be drawing air in from an outside source, not from your home, right? So from gable vents, or soffit vents.
Usually you've got soffit vents in an attic, plus you've got the ridge vent, too, all the way down the top of the ridge sometimes, depending on the house.
Right, so you need an air intake, which would be a gable or soffit.
So the air's got to, you've got to have airflow in that attic, just regular airflow.
Correct.
And there's a mathematical calculation, I forget what it is, but
50-to-1 type thing for square area.
Yeah, so air goes up through the soffits.
Yeah.
And that's why when they insulate, they don't just pour all the insulation down into the soffits. They put those little screens in that block the
insulation
from
and
going down
into
the soffits.
And for a retro job, you know, invariably, somebody's gone in and sprayed a whole lot more insulation in, or cellulose type insulation over top of the old style insulation.
Right.
But neglected to provide air.
Ventilation
is key. And it's the same with old wooden boats. You know, if you, or even a travel trailer, if you close it up for the whole winter and walk away and you come back in spring, well, everything's soggy, moldy, musty, that's the same in an attic. You've got to provide fresh air coming in.
Ventilation.
And you've got to allow a place for that air to get out. So sometimes when people re-roof, they neglect to cut a bit of the ridge off, cut a bit of plywood off to let that air escape.
Like, I'm a big fan of Mike Holmes, the TV star, his show.
Yeah.
Most of his shows revolve around poorly ventilated attics or, you know, bathroom fans venting straight into the attic with all the moisture. Wash machine or dryers from laundry dryers venting straight into the attics and just shooting up tons of moisture. The moisture's trapped in there, especially in Ontario where it gets cold. Then you get ice up in the attic.
Yeah.
The ice melts, it drops down, you get water up in there, it goes into the drywall, you know, and as soon as you walk in the house, if you see stains on the drywall, the water's come from somewhere. If the roof's not leaking, then you've got a moisture problem.
That's right. And often what happens is, that air escaping, that nice warm air in winter escaping from the inside of your home into your attic, and it condenses on the underside of the sheathing, underside of your roof, and or forms ice in the really cold provinces, here it just turns to moisture and runs down somehow, down the sheathing, finds its way to the soffits. And that's what actually, when you see homes, you know, they have black mold, you see this streaks of black in the drywall, either in the ceiling or on the walls. That's because the moisture is trapped.
Don't get me started on black mold now.
Anyways, let's...
To all the people down in a certain condo complex on Salt Spring where I had a listing, there was no mold in the condo.
Right.
You know, I had all these people call me. You've got a listing at this place, and we know there's mold in there. There was a bit of moisture. The carpet cleaner went in, did the carpets, and then he turned off the heat. He did it in October.
Oh,
and there was mildew in the bathroom. Mildew on the bathroom walls is not black mold.
No, exactly. That's a surface issue. Yeah,
you spray a little bit of bleach on there with water, the mildew goes away. Black mold is something totally
different.
It's
a living beast that's eating. drywall has a paper coating on
it.
Mold eats paper.
Yeah.
What do you need for mold to grow? Well, you need that moisture. Yeah. You need the food.
Black mold. That's why I said, you guys are crazy. There's no black mold in that place. And funny thing is, I did a home inspection on it last week. Absolutely no black mold.
Nice and dry.
It's dry. Attic's dry. Crawl space is dry. Yeah. Of course. I looked. It's dry.
Oh, yeah. Carpet cleaning is a huge amount of moisture.
And the problem was, the guy left it for 2 days. He did it on like a Wednesday. By Friday, when I found out he did it on Wednesday, I went down to check, and sure enough, 2 days without heat, boom, the place was just wet.
And or windows closed.
Oh, windows closed, no heat. It's like, gosh, you can't do that. So, you got to crank the heat, open a couple windows up a bit, and dry it out.
Yeah, you got to let the, even, you can have all the heaters on in the world. It's like when we're doing a drywall job at somebody's home. and you've got the heat pumping. The you know, we have a 5,000 watt cube heater that just spins that meter up there. you've got to leave a couple of windows open that moisture has to go somewhere.
Yeah, you've got to dry it out. Yeah,
yeah.
We've talked about crawl spaces. We've talked about attics. Now we're going to get into just a few little accessories that you can do or things that you could do to your house, depending on if you're renovating or depending on what you want. So let's go through. Let's look at our list.
Sure. So I just titled at the top, small, simple additions for eco-friendly things that you can add to your home. So we can start with the smallest, simplest things.
Yeah.
And most people are probably aware, I mean, the ads on TV are quite popular, you know, with hydro ads and so
forth. And let's face it, salt springers are cheap. So we know this one.
One thing that can really help you is, especially if you have a home with electric baseboards, are programmable timed thermostats.
Yeah.
Now, they cost a bit of money, like they're $80 maybe each. But talking to an electrician, he did this at his own home. Within the first winter of having his timers, he saved in electricity the value of the thermostats.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that is the first simplest thing you can do.
Well, again, that's why in some ways baseboards are kind of nice, because you get zoned heat throughout the house.
That's
and you
right.
can turn it down in different rooms if you're not using those rooms.
Right. And
like,
and
we keep our bedrooms really cool all year round. I don't like a warm bedroom. I mean,
and you have to admit, baseboard electricity is an efficient fuel, because you 1 watt in, you get 1 watt out.
Yeah, 100%.
It depends on how you use the heat.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, is it a closed off room or is it a big vault? If it's a space, if it's a room with big vaulted ceilings, it doesn't necessarily work.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So, okay, so that's number one.
So, thermostats. Good quality thermostats, programmable.
Programmable thermostats. Okay, second thing, people are going with the, you know, the, what are they called? CFL bulbs, compact fluorescents.
God, I hate those
things. Yeah.
Whoever passed that rule that took away incandescent bulbs, if I ever meet them, I'm going to kick one right in the butt. It's like,
they're not very eco in the long run, because
the light is terrible.
But they're full of they're fluorescent, so they have
full of mercury.
Yeah. Right. So anyway, so what I recommend is I put a lower wattage bulb in.
But can you get them anymore?
Yeah, well, I converted
everything.
What I'm
going to do is I'm going to start a new business, mail order light bulbs to Canadians.
Yeah.
I'm going to get someone in the Philippines to go into a hardware store, buy incandescent bulbs, and they'll ship them to Canadians.
That's right. That's
and right. they'll just put
the
on
secret.
It, you know, cookies on the outside of the box, and we'll ship them to Canada. Did you, you know, it'll be like this contraband light bulb. Did you get yours?
Did you get your incandescent light bulb?
360s. Ooh, do you want to?
Hey, I'll trade you 360s for 240s.
You know, all these Americans will come up and trade Cuban cigars for incandescent light bulbs.
Yeah. So what I do, and when I renovate a place or remodel a place, and we're talking to clients, or even my own home, I put lots of smaller lights in. So rather than one or two big lights in the middle of the room, or I put a row of 4-inch pot lights, say.
Yeah.
So instead, like down a hall, instead of having one big light fixture in the center with, say, a triple bulb or a double bulb, so you need 260s in there, I put a row of either mini fluorescent or mini halogen, mini pot lights.
Well, the nice thing is that the LEDs will eventually come down in price.
That's right. And they do thread into a normal.
Like, they're going to real. I mean, now they're expensive. I don't know how much they are. They're brutally expensive. But you watch in the next 3 or 4 years.
Sure. It's like anything. It's like when the first VCR came out, they were $1,200.
I'm not now, that old. Are you that old?
Yeah, I remember the first VCR. I remember it. Yeah, we used to beg our neighbor, can we come to your house and watch a movie?
There you go, rent
$1,200 for the first VCR, and this was in about 1980.
Well, I tell my kids, well, we didn't have a VCR. We used to just rent one for the weekend, and they'd look at me and go, what, you rented a VCR? Like, why didn't you just get it on DVD? It's like, you idiots, they didn't have DVDs.
So what we did is, in my house, we put like two or three or four nice little 4-inch halogen, like little pot lights in a row with 50-watt halogen bulbs. So we have, okay, so we have 450s, so that's a couple of hundred watts. Maybe it's a hallway, maybe it's a small bedroom, but the beauty of halogen is that you can dim them.
Yeah.
And so when you start dimming your lights, say you have a track light with, say, four halogens on it or something right. like that, four 50-watt bulbs or four 60-watt bulbs, you can lower the wattage a little bit,
right.
and that helps prevent the dimmer from singing. And then you buy a nice, good quality dimmer with a slide.
Well, that's the problem with the cheap dimmer switches, just
a
heat
cheap
up.
Cheap dimmer will sing, and it'll sing or heat up because of
the amount
of the resistance, right?
Yeah, they must just go through, like, you know.
Right.
Are they burning electricity when they get that hot? They must be, because you're creating heat. They've got to be. There's so much resistance there.
Yeah, of course, the byproduct of electricity is heat, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, some of them get so hot that they're like little heaters on your wall, and you're like, how safe is that?
They've got to be rated, of course, right?
Right.
But by dimming your lights and leaving them on low, you're saving right there.
Yep.
So these are small, simple things that you can do at home. And that's another thing about those CFLs. You can't dim them. So
right.
if you've got a chandelier, or you've got, say, lights over your island, or...
Oh, I hate those things.
You can't dim them.
They're hideous lights.
Yeah.
And the light, I don't know, people get headaches off them.
Oh.
It's like, who dreamed up that one? I mean, anyways, we're going to stop for a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. Scott Simmons here with his guest, Alex Denny from Portside Woodwork. And Alex, what's your email address?
It's portside.alex@gmail.com.
And mine is saltspring@yahoo.com. So,
or follow us on Twitter.
Or follow us on Twitter, saltspringre.
I'm Portside Wood.
Portside Wood. There you go. Twitter is all powerful. Okay, we'll be right back after quick words from our sponsors. I can see Drew coming in the parking lot. There he is. He's got a whole bag of music for this afternoon. Johnny DeVille is in the studio.
If you're thinking of selling your Salt Spring home, call Scott.